Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let me first say I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I lost my voice last night screaming at Yankee Stadium. I apologize. I'm sorry for being really negative about the Mets' chances last night. I was wrong. And I was wrong all night. Because never at any moment during that game last night, when Jeff McNeil's got his head up his ass, when Harrison Bader's caught stealing, when Jake Diekman is asked to get big outs in the ninth inning, never did I think the Mets would beat the Yankees. And guess what? I was wrong. So I start right there. My apologies.
I'm glad you lost money on that, too.
I lost a lot of money. I did a lot of emotional hedging last night. But I think, and we talked about this yesterday, the reaction to the Yankee lineup. And we're still hearing it 24 hours later.
How can you not?
I get it. J.D. Davis should not have been hitting cleanup. I agree with you guys about that. Austin Wells should have been in the starting lineup. I agree with you on that. The only thing we disagreed about was Jermai Jones. But let's have a real conversation before we look ahead to Game 2 of the Subway Series. I don't believe the New York Yankees lost last night because of their lineup construction. I don't. And I'll tell you why I think they lost this game. Number one, and I know this is uncomfortable to hear because the guy's been amazing this year, Aaron Judge struck out against Jake Diekman. Let's start right there. You were given this incredible opportunity with Jake Diekman going after Aaron Judge. He threw a fastball right down the middle to start the at-bat. And Judge even said after the game, well, you know, he missed a Juan Soto. I want him to prove he could throw a strike. F that. Jump on it and hit it over the fence. You want to be Barry Bonds, be Barry Bonds. So I start with Judge. I get it. They walked him four times. In the ninth inning, the crappy Jake Diekman, and trust me, we all know he's not good, went after Aaron Judge, and he failed. So let's start right there, Teak. Am I wrong?
And well, you're not wrong, literally, but you're not right also, because Aaron Judge, you can't judge Aaron Judge's day based on one at-bat. Because he didn't have any opportunities for most of this game.
I understand.
He got pitched around. Yeah. He got intentionally walked. And it was funny when Mindy was asked why he decided to let Jake Diekman face Aaron Judge. He didn't have an answer to him.
Right.
I mean, it would have been smart to say, why put the go-ahead run on first base? But he didn't have an answer. He just used his gut. And kudos for Mindy for getting that gut feel right. It probably is not going to work out that way if you'd had to do it again. But well, I know what you're saying. Aaron Judge had an opportunity to play hero. But playing hero in baseball is so difficult when it's one at bat.
I got you.
It's three or four pitches that we're talking about. To me, this loss goes down to the ineptitude at the top of the lineup. Aaron Boone simply cannot construct lineups that way. You can't have zero protection behind Aaron Judge. You can't have Jose Quintana dancing around Aaron Judge, nothing, giving him nothing basically in the zone. What did he throw him? They had his first three at bats.
14 pitches, 12 balls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had two strikes in 14
Dude,
pitches.
Dude, I agree J.D. Davis shouldn't have been hitting cleanup, but that's not why they lost the game.
Yes,
that's all
it
I'm
is.
Saying. No, it's
yes,
not.
Yes, it is, because there were opportunities with batters on base, Aaron Judge essentially on base, where they could take no advantage of it.
They were Gobatiki. They were going to pitch around Aaron Judge no matter who is hitting behind him, unless
so.
He flipped Soto and Judge, which is a worthy discussion. So if Glaber was hitting cleanup, or Volpe was hitting cleanup, or dare I say Verdugo was hitting cleanup, they were going to pitch around him, and there's no guarantee that those guys were going to come through.
Yeah.
And by the way, both guys that you guys hate, J.D. Davis and Jermai Jones, they got pinch hit for. By the seventh inning, they weren't in the game. When Aaron Judge was intentionally walked in the seventh inning, Ben Rice came up, the guy you wanted to see play,
right.
and he just missed it, but he missed it.
He made a run at it.
Okay.
And by the way,
was caught.
Ben Rice is sitting there in cleanup for the first six innings of this game. Do I believe that he knocks a base hit, that he moves someone to third base, that he gets an RBI? Yes, I
Why?
Do.
What's that based on? He's four for his last 40. Literally, Ben Rice hasn't hit. Now all of a sudden he's Lou Gehrig?
No, the fact that he takes good approaches at the plate. J.D. Davis's first at-bat was literally the most discouraging thing I've ever seen.
It was bad.
He swung at three balls in the dirt. in the dirt.
I got you.
It weren't even like fastballs. It was breaking balls or cutters, or it was changeups that weren't even making it to the plate.
He was awful.
He was terrible.
I'm not defending JD Davis.
And so, to me, if you're gonna just throw somebody in there to bat behind Aaron Judge, make it someone who might just happen to run into something.
Tiki,
that is not JD Davis.
I agree with you that JD Davis shouldn't have batted cleanup, okay? What I'm telling you is for the last 24 hours, all I've heard is the lineup.
It's not the lineup.
Juan Soto, it's the
cleanup hitter.
Okay.
It's who's protecting your best two players.
Tiki, I agree with you. I give that to you guys. It was a bad decision. Juan Soto was 0-for-4 with a walk.
Yeah, but you've played.
Aaron Judge struck out against the crappy Jake Diekman and took a fastball right down the middle.
Evan, you know baseball too well to fall for something like that. I'm disappointed that you're using
Those are their two best players. They did nothing in this game.
I'm disappointed you're using that lazy excuse for why the Yankees won. That you know it too well to put it on one at bat. It is impossible to do that.
I'm including Juan Soto's three other at-bats.
You said Aaron Judge striking out to the crappy Jake Diekman. Well, guess what? The shun signs on a dog's ass every now and then.
But hold on.
And so
the way I look at a baseball game is there are different moments that cost you games. And by the way, I haven't even gotten all of them because there's a lot of others that cost them the game. And the Mets had moments that could have or should have cost them their game. Aaron Judge coming up against Jake Diekman with a runner on first and one out. Of course, you're right. It's baseball. You don't succeed 80% of the time.
Exactly,
I acknowledge that. But that was a golden opportunity where you had Diekman going after Aaron Judge, and he failed.
Aaron Judge is not batting 1,000. He's not.
So what do you want me to do? Like, not mention the at-bat?
No.
Just talk about J.D. Davis and the first 5 minutes of the game? What you guys want to do?
The at-bat is the at-bat. You can't say that that's the reason that they lost the game.
One of the reasons. I got a whole list. Juan Soto going 0-for-4, that's not a part of it? We're just going to ignore that.
Of course it is.
Okay, well, I'm mentioning that.
I give Jose Quintana a lot of credit because he, for the first time in a while, I saw Juan Soto confused. Like, reaching and like, oh, crap, let me get my bat on that one. And he just three straight to Pete Alonso. So I give Jose Quintana a ton of credit for handling a lefty.
But that's a part of why they lost.
Which he should do, by the way.
I get it. That's a part of why they lost, to just lazily blame it on it's the lineup, it stinks. Meanwhile, J.D. Davis, and those at-bats were bad, Teak. I am not arguing with you and defending J.D. Davis. Can I make that clear?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have batted him clean up. I agree with you about that. But to say that's why they lost simply is not fair. I'll give you another example. And you ready? You Boone haters? I'm going to give you your blood. You want hate for Aaron Boone? I'll give you hate for Aaron Boone. When Jeff McNeil is at the plate with a runner on third and one out in the sixth inning of a tie game, and he has been hitting lately, and the guys on deck are Luis Torrens and Tyrone Taylor, and that's the lead run on third base, you can't face him. That was a bad move by Boone, so let's talk about it.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Aaron Boone should not have allowed in that inning, in the sixth inning, with Michael Tonkin, who stinks, to face Jeff McNeil in that spot. He should have been walked. And what does Luis Torrens do? I don't know. Maybe grounds into a double play. Maybe it's a three-run home run. I have no idea. But you know McNeil's been hitting. He had hit four home runs in the last four games. You can't face him there. That's a mistake by Aaron Boone. That's number three. You want another one? And by the way, Chunky over here defended this. Alex Verdugo. I want you to listen very carefully. I understand you're a mess right now. Okay, we all get it. You stink right now. With first and second and nobody out and the bottom of the order coming up, bunting is a loser move. Who's up next?
Evan.
Carlos Narvaez.
And who's up after him? The same guy that you sat, looked at the audience, and looked at me and Tiki in the eye yesterday and said, he has earned his at-bats. I believe he'll break out of it. He hit a home run the day before. And DJ LeMahieu lollipop flies out in that spout batting ninth. Alex Verdugo, if you're going to struggle and there's no answers behind you, at least he did something productive there. How about the guys behind him? And you know what? Narvaez, okay, well, where's Austin Wells in the lineup at that point, too? For you to start this show today and pin this, one of the biggest reasons was Aaron Judge in that spot. When
that's
J.D.
one of
Davis,
the reasons,
dude,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. It's not the what? I'm not so, saying that's the only reason,
why
but
does it
let's
come down
be
to that?
Honest about why they lost the game instead
let's
of just blaming it on
let's
the lineup. Who
why
got pinch hit for?
Why is the game even in that spot where it's coming down to Aaron Judge at 3-2 in the ninth? Why is it in that spot? Because of the lineup that was already put in fourth in that game. The idea that Aaron Judge was on base four times in this game and J.D. Davis is swinging at balls in the dirt or with one out, grounds into a double play, which, by the way, the next inning was the inning where they finally scored. You get Volpe gets on. Verdugo gets on in that spot. Down the line, the Yankees put a guy with a negative 16 OPS plus as a Yankee in the cleanup hole who hasn't played a month last night.
Yeah, but
and
Sean,
it set
Sean,
the team
Sean,
up for failure
Sean.
Last night.
See, you guys, I agree with you. That's the part you're not understanding. J.D. Davis should not have batted a cleanup. I'll say it to you 550 times. I said it to you yesterday. I did not like that move. What I'm arguing with you about is to just pin this loss on that is not fair. There are other factors, and I just laid a few of them out. I'm not saying it's only Aaron Judge, Tiki. I'm saying that at-bat was a part of it. Juan Soto going 0-for-4 is a part of it.
It was a huge missed opportunity.
Yes, Aaron Boone not walking Jeff McNeil with a base open was a part of it. Alex Verdugo laying down a loser-ish bunt is a part of it. Yes, those are all factors.
I hear you on Jeff McNeil, but Jeff McNeil hasn't had the greatest season. So the last thing you think is he's going to hurt you that way.
I think he's hot, and I think you've got to be careful, especially with Terrence and Taylor coming up. That's the way I look at it. That's what I'm thinking sitting there, and I'm trying to be an IBO. Obviously, I'm a Met fan, and I know I want Jeff McNeil swinging the bat.
Yeah.
If they take the bat out of his hands, as well as Terenz's play, and I give him credit, he was on base twice before that, I still wouldn't have loved that as a Met fan.
Evan, the Yankee lineups are obviously no secret. We've been pounding the table for this for 6 weeks. All the problems in the world. When you compound yourself and decide you're going to play the whole lefty-righty game and take a couple of your let's just call them not even good bats. Bats you'd rather have in the lineup than X out of it. You have already set your team up for a position where when it comes down to Aaron Judge, you have no room for error. And that is where it set off. Aaron Judge is not allowed to strike out in that spot because of the lineup set forth that started the whole game that puts him in a spot where they have no room for error.
But Sean and Tiki, here's the other problem. The alternatives are not much better.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Rice is going through a massive slump right now.
He is.
I get that you think he's Lou Gehrig. I understand that.
I've never said he's Lou Gehrig.
But
I don't
you're
think
talking
he is.
About him as if, no. well, if he no, no. plays, things are different.
No, I'm just telling you that he has the ability to run into something. J.D. Martinez's
Davis.
Approach, I mean, J.D. Davis' approach at the plate was horrendous last night.
I agree.
He looked overmatched. And I hate to say that for a veteran, but he looked overmatched.
Tiki, I'll take it a step further. J.D. Davis should be DFA today, okay? J.D. Davis is, I think, 1-for-17 as a Yankee,
mm-hmm.
and I actually think he's worse than the 1-for-17. He's been dreadful.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with you guys about that, and I don't disagree that he shouldn't have been hitting cleanup, but to simplify that loss last night, a game the Yankees could have won, a game that the Mets tried to give away. Let's face it, the Mets made plenty of mistakes. Harrison Bader's caught off second. Francisco Lindor strikes out in a big spot. Jeff McNeil has a horrific base running decision.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets don't have Edwin Diaz available to where they're using Jake Diekman in the ninth inning.
Right, bases loaded in the eighth.
Yeah.
They got away. No runs.
The Mets continue to fail in big spots, which is
being wrong.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that go into a loss. And what's bothered me over the last 15 hours is like every Yankee fan, or at least the majority of them, are just repeating the same. It's the lineup.
It's not the lineup.
It's not
what we're talking about. We're talking specifically about a one decision, and that's not protecting your best hitters. And you can't do that against teams that have some quality pitching because they're just going to dance around your best hitters.
Well, Teague, they're going to dance around your best hitters no matter what. That's the reality.
I mean, who thought we would pine so hard for Giancarlo Stanton at this point?
God, give him the MVP.
I'm serious.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you why you make a great point about that, okay? If Giancarlo Stanton, especially because of his history against the Mets,
mm-hmm.
which does play a part of it in my mind, if Giancarlo Stanton is protecting Aaron Judge, are the Mets being as aggressive and not facing him as the way they handled last night? Because last night when Aaron Judge came up in the first inning, there were two outs and nobody on. So imagine, instead of J.D. Davis backing him up as Giancarlo, or is Jose Quintana pitching around him? Maybe not. In the third inning, with one out and nobody on, is he pitching around Aaron Judge with Giancarlo next?
Probably not.
probably not. So I do agree that they are missing Giancarlo Stanton on a major level. But what I would tell you is while Gleyber Torres or Anthony Volpe are better options than J.D. Davis, I'm a better option than J.D. Davis. That is not going to change the fact that Mendy wasn't going to let Judge beat him. They were going to pitch around him no matter what.
He did until he got lucky in the ninth inning.
Okay, so the ninth inning, I think, is a really complicated, interesting baseball discussion. Would you like to have that baseball discussion? Okay. Walking the winning run to first base and putting the tying run on second base on the road with less than two outs is the most unorthodox thing you will ever see in baseball.
Right.
Now, the reason I would have done it, I'm going to raise my hand and tell you, I disagreed with Carlos Mendoza. I would have walked Aaron Judge last night and done one of the most unorthodox things in the history of baseball, has everything to do with my lack of faith in Jake Diekman. Has everything to do with the fact that Jake Diekman striking out Aaron Judge last night, maybe I'm exaggerating, is a top five most shocking moment.
It was pretty damn shocking. And because, I mean, when I was, I mean, I left in the sixth inning.
Yeah, but later.
But when I was listening to it in the car, and I'm listening to Susan talking about Edwin Diaz is not coming in the game. He's sitting right next to me. I was like, wow, because I thought he was available.
Yeah.
But he clearly wasn't.
We were guessing the last four innings of this game, Lugie, Sean, and I were all going back and forth on it. I, too, assumed that he would be available, but he was not.
And when he wasn't, that's when the hope that a Yankee steal was happening. Like, they were stealing this game despite not playing well for most of it. And they didn't.
But that, the fact that it was, see, if Edwin Diaz is pitching in the ninth inning of this game, I would not suggest walking Aaron Judge.
Of course not.
I wouldn't. I would suggest, Deadnell Nunez is pitching the ninth inning, I wouldn't have suggested it. Because I do think it is so risky to put the tying run on second base, the winning run on first base. But because it was Diekman, who's actually effective against lefties and ineffective against righties, I would have walked him. Now, the Mets decided not to. I think it's one of the most fascinating decisions you can have in baseball. It's not being talked about that much because I think we're distracted by a million other things.
Of course.
We're distracted by J.D. Davis was batting cleanup. Can you believe it? Meanwhile, when Judge struck out, J.D. Davis wasn't up next because Ben Rice pinch hit for him two innings earlier. And get what did Ben Rice do, by the way?
Dude.
He grounded out.
Dude. Remember when Aaron Judge got hurt a month or two ago?
At least he put the bat on the ball.
And missed a game or two. Does anybody remember this?
Yeah.
What did Aaron Judge say about why he stayed in the game for another inning? What did he say?
I don't remember.
I will tell you because I remember.
He said it was unfair for whoever.
For Trent Grisham to come in cold out of the game.
Yes.
So now you're using these guys pinch hitting late as an excuse as to why we shouldn't be worried about the lineup at the beginning of the game. They were all cold and not prepared to play that game.
Oh, Sean.
And you heard from the Yankee captain that this is an issue.
Sean.
These guys should have been in the lineup from the beginning, but you're so worried about these stupid lefty-righty matchups and not just playing who the better damn player is in a game you need to win.
No, hold on. You guys do that in such a way like the alternatives that were sat are so much better. What is Ben Rice's numbers against lefties this year?
What a J.D. Davis's numbers all freaking year! He was DFA'd by the A's. I don't even have a home!
Sean, forget J.D. Davis. I agree, he stinks. Okay?
So he should be hitting cleanup in a lineup playing the New York Yankees!
How many times do I have to tell you I agree he shouldn't have been hitting cleanup? Like, what do you want me to say?
So then don't come on here to say Judge can't strike out there. That starts right there!
Dude, he can't play,
Evan. I don't want to scream and yell. Cannot play on this team.
Sean, J.D. Davis should. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Watch this, Tiki. Tell me if I'm really doing gymnastics.
He already said it.
He can't hit cleanup. He shouldn't hit cleanup. That is not the main reason why they lost this game. There are other reasons why they lost this game. I just laid out seven of them. Do you disagree with everything I said?
They played six innings as if it was a fourth preseason game in the NFL, dude.
I think the problem is you're putting it on Judge, and you can't put it on Judge because Judge essentially had one opportunity.
I'm talking about that moment. Yes, he had a great opportunity against Jake Diekman. I'm also putting it on Juan Soto. I'm also putting it on Alex Verdugo. I'm also putting it on Aaron Boone.
Agreed. But when you lead with Judge being the main reason, and he had one opportunity. Soto had five, right? Verdugo had four. Right, Aaron Judge had one opportunity, and he failed at it. But that's baseball, Susan.
Well,
right? We know it. He got one shot to get a hit,
Cheeky,
and he missed at it.
Here's the reality.
But he doesn't hit 1,000. He's hitting 300. He was in that 70% failure zone that he lives in. And by the way, may win every other batting title. Who knows?
Look it up, and this may be depressing. This may give you a lack of confidence if you're a Yankee fan, or this may not be surprising. when Juan Soto and Aaron Judge don't get base hits in a game, and they had a combined zero hits yesterday. Juan Soto was 0 for 4. Aaron Judge was 0 for 1. When they don't get hits, the Yankees don't win.
Wow, God, that sounds
very
familiar.
They need their star players to perform at a high level.
You know what sounds familiar about that?
Don't do this.
It sounds so familiar. Back to 2022, when Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs. You know what else we said that season? Wow, God, when he doesn't hit, they don't score.
Yeah.
Guess what? Now it's when Soto and Judge don't hit, they don't score.
Yes.
And so, like,
yes.
This comes back to the same problem that Yankee fans have dealt with for a decade, it feels like. There's just not enough assurance that guys can hit on this team.
You are right, and that is why there are 6 days left until the trade deadline. We are T-minus 6 days away, and I compiled a list. And a little bit later on, we'll go through the list of great Yankee targets. What?
You know what you're hearing from Sean Moraes here and his fellow Yankee brethren? It's called coping. Let me take you behind the curtain a little bit from last night. Tiki, you left in the sixth inning. Sean, when Aaron Judge stepped to the plate, the mighty Aaron Judge, he took his cell phone out, didn't you, Sean? And you started filming the entire at-bat. You were all excited. And
I did notice that,
you didn't care about J.D. Davis or anybody else in the lineup at that point because you were ready to capture that moment. And as Aaron Judge went quietly into the night, as Jake Diekman struck him out looking, Sean sat his little fat ass down, put his phone away, tucked his tail between his leg, and he went home.
Oh, so it's Sean's fault again.
No, they are coping. They don't want to give the Mets credit because you know what? The Mets run this city right now, and there's not a damn... All right, name call. Here come the name calling. Here comes the bullying.
Here comes the name calling. No.
You suck!
I'm not fighting you on that, Lily, because guess what? No matter what happens tonight, the Mets win this series. The Subway Series, the Mets have won, right? They've already won 3 of 4. So they've won the Subway Series. You're absolutely right. But it's funny that you're blaming Sean again, because it might be. Because, Sean, you typify what I hate about our society. Right? I wasn't there, so I can't even knock you in person. But when people are in a moment and they take the time to pull out a cell phone instead of enjoying that moment, it drives me absolutely insane.
I'm so glad.
I promise you, Sean, that MLB will have a much better, higher quality, detailed, and produced reproduction of Aaron Judge going yard and winning the damn game. I promise you that. Put your damn phones away and watch what the hell you're watching.
Tiki, I don't disagree with you at all. I've now, in the course of 23 minutes, been called chunky by Evan. Fat ass by Lou Gowers.
I said you had a fat ass.
And you saying you hate everything I represent
in
society.
No, not everything you hate and represent in society, but you become bougie. And you become, I want to be a part of the moment.
I do.
Just enjoy the moment.
Yeah,
and stop sitting in suites. Sit on your ass and cheer, or stand up and cheer for your guy. But put your phone away and stop going into bougie suites with the caviar and champagne. Only I can do that on this show.
Where are we watching the Mets next Wednesday? Let me just say this for Lou Gowers, who, by the way, sit my fat ass down and left the stadium. I also gave him a free ride home.
Thank you.
Guys.
Which is out of your way, right?
Yeah, I mean, semi. Semi cost me a few minutes. He got home an hour earlier, so yeah, very nice friend I was. Evan, because there was a guy standing right in front of us in an Aaron Rodgers jersey rooting for the Mets.
That's true.
Said, you know what should be really... Film this. Film this Judge at bat right now, and we'll have it. Whatever happens, I did it for the show.
I never said that.
Are you serious?
I never said that. You absolutely said
we got to catch this on
film
right
now.
No,
I said you should take a picture of the fact that your vantage point of this moment is Aaron Rodgers in your face. That's what I said. But see, what I took out of what Lugie said is far different than what you did.
Go ahead.
And that is, J.D. Davis shouldn't have batted cleanup. Okay, J.D. Davis had 3 of the most pathetic at-bats you will ever see. We all agree. But in the 9th inning of this game, the Yankees were set up. They had the tying run on first base. They had the winning run at the plate. And Carlos Mendoza, and he doesn't even know why, was making a decision that he could regret to have the crappy Jake Diekman. Watch this. As positive as Tommy is. What do you think of Jake Diekman?
Love him.
Shut up. You're lying now. He stinks.
He's Mr. Positive. Doesn't matter what you say.
In this moment, it didn't matter that J.D. Davis was batting cleanup. He had already been pinch hit for. It didn't matter that Jamai Jones was leading off. You had your best hitter at the plate, with a runner on first and one out, and maybe the crappiest reliever the Mets have, throwing cookies down the middle. And you weren't bemoaning the lineup construction because it was right there in front of you. And then after that, even after Aaron struck out, you had Ben Rice. You had the guy you wanted. He could have hit a two-run home run. He just missed one two innings earlier, and they failed. And that's the part of the game that you can't just ignore. I'm not saying don't bring up the lineup, but let's not ignore the other aspects that cost your team this game.
Sure. And if they're up 5-3 at that point because J.D. Davis doesn't ground into a double play, or Jamai Jones with two guys on can't figure it out, or LeMahieu with runners in second and third fly out, you know, if the Yankees took advantage of any of those other opportunities, then it doesn't come down to that is the point, Evan. Baseball's about more than one inning. I'll teach you something about the game, kiddo.
Two things the Yankee fans, Sean included, don't want to do here. They don't want to give the Mets an ounce of credit, and they don't want to crush Aaron Judge. This guy gets more passes in this town than any athlete. You want to talk about Jalen Brunson? Wake me up when Aaron Judge wins a World Series. He's in a big spot there, and he did nothing. Struck out looking to Jake Diekman. Okay, good night.
Your Enjoy calls. The flight home. Your calls coming up.
Please get the calls. He brought Jalen Brunson into this. It's enough.
Well, here's what I know, and I'm no Knick fan. Jalen Brunson gets a wide open three. He's probably hitting it. That's just me.
Yeah, okay.
Toll-free numbers.
Loose to the Pacers again.
Toll-free numbers, 888-808-1019. We'll get the angry Yankee fan perspective to my fellow Met fans. I walked out of Yankee Stadium. Loogie walked out of Yankee Stadium yesterday, and we were singing. So we will hear from the happy Met fan as well. Plus, what did Carlos Mendoza mean when he said, I don't know why I decided to have Jake Diekman face Aaron Judge? We'll explore it coming up. I'm going to say this with a warning because I've gotten the sense that Sean is very sensitive. Even you, Teak, you're a little sensitive about this. So the warning is J.D. Davis should not have batted cleanup yesterday. J.D. Davis should not have batted cleanup yesterday. With that said, Talkin' Yanks tweeted this out a few hours ago, where the Yankees rank in terms of OPS by batting spot in the order.
Yeah, it's pathetic at cleanup.
The cleanup spot is dead last. They are 30th in Major League Baseball. So the point is, while J.D. Davis should not have batted cleanup, the New York Yankees have bad options right now. And I said this to you yesterday, and I stand by it. They need guys on this team to be better, and they also need to make smart, keen, under-the-radar moves in the next 6 days. That's how this is going to be fixed. But let's not act like J.D. Davis was batting cleanup instead of Mickey Mantle, who was sitting on the bench. You had other options, but can we all agree that all of the other options are pretty atrocious?
Yes, but can we also agree that we picked the most atrocious of all as the option?
Again, what was the first thing I said? J.D. Davis should not have been. J.D. Davis should be DFA'd today.
Yeah.
He should be sent home.
Evan, the bottom line is this. While you might be right about all of that, when you bat J.D. Davis, cleanup, on the same night you're sitting your hot catcher, on the same night you're hitting a guy leadoff who's never hit leadoff before, you are not putting out a serious enough lineup to win a bowl game.
Well, I disagree with the seriousness. I mean, people calling this a punt lineup, or they're treating it like a split squad spring training game. Again, who did you sit? You sat one guy who's 4 for his last 40.
How about Oswaldo Cabrera, Austin Wells?
How does he do against lefties? Doesn't matter, right?
No, it doesn't.
Just ignore everything.
How did Jamai Jones do versus lefties?
Exactly.
He's hit 350 until last night,
Hit 350 over 20 at-bats.
Okay.
He's hit 222 in his life.
Okay, and Oswaldo Cabrera sitting what against lefties?
I don't know. I didn't look that up yesterday because Oswaldo Cabrera was not leading off.
But the point is the other options weren't better. Now, Tiki, you missed something amazing.
Yes, what happened?
Because Tiki did leave in the sixth inning. I'm no longer shocked by it. I accept it, actually.
Right. By the way, I was home before the ninth.
Not bad.
He also stayed for the Tonkin inning, so he stayed in the game longer than Heel.
He did stay in the game longer than Heel. But you know what I really respect about it?
I told you I was leaving when Heel was done.
No, you're right. What I respect about it is...
And he gave up a home run. I was like, I'm out.
That's true.
Tonkin, I'm out.
You've gone to so many games with us that I'm like, okay with the leaving early thing. Like, you went to multiple Knicks games.
Yes.
A Brooklyn Net game.
Right.
I mean... How can I complain about you leaving?
After everybody thought that I would never go.
Well, BT told me that. He said there's no shot Tiki goes to any of these games.
Meanwhile.
I know. You're piling it up. But Sean said something yesterday before the ninth inning began. And that's what's kind of cool about going to a game with people. You get to see everyone's live reactions to things. Like these guys will tell you, anyone who thinks I was doing reverse psychology or it's an act to be negative, I was negative throughout that entire game. That's how I felt. I'm glad I'm wrong, by the way. Like, I'm happy, but it wasn't something like a strategic plan. So I was negative throughout the entire game. I never thought the Mets were going to win. Okay, I stand by that.
Okay, go ahead.
But you know what Sean told me going into the ninth inning?
What's that?
When Jake Diekman came to the mound?
What's that?
I would have more confidence as a Yankee fan if Edwin Diaz was coming in as opposed to Jake Diekman.
Why?
Before you gasp, I understand Diekman is up and down 5 ERA. The
that
truth
was my
is,
gasp, by the way.
Coming off of the inning that he had versus the Marlins, no sleep, no everything, holding your breath, and, you know, the up and down year that he's had, and Soto and Judge coming up, it just felt like a typical Yankee moment in that spot versus the Subway Series where, up. Here it comes, the house of cards falls apart, Diaz blows the save. And the idea that it was Diekman coming in, it just felt like that specialness of the moment was not going to be there.
Yeah, it was going to be a different kind of specialness. Yeah.
No, I didn't feel
it. Diekman saving it.
I didn't feel from a Yankee point of view. Diaz came in that game, I think they were winning it.
Well, Diekman last pitched on Sunday?
You want me to check my scorebook?
It was 21st, whatever day that was.
Right.
So, yeah, so he had rest.
He did have rest.
Diaz did not.
And I did witness Evan in the scorebook go back a couple of days. He had two of the last three.
By the way, you know what was really interesting about you and your scorebook?
Good.
The lady sitting beside you. You weren't paying attention to her, but she was paying attention to you.
Don't make my wife jealous. What was she doing? Checking me out?
No, she was just like, what in the hell is this guy doing? Writing down little marks about nothing.
That is true.
She just kept looking over like, what is he doing?
I'm sure a lot of people do that at games, and I no longer notice it.
However, I have to actually give props to scorekeeping.
Yeah.
Because before the game, we saw the agent of all agents, Scott Boras, saying hello to, was it Cashman or was it?
David Stearns.
It was Stearns, right? Yeah. He was saying hello. Yes, you showed it to us on Instagram or on social media, whatever it was, X. He was saying hello to David Stearns. And so we, as the game was going on, like, where is he? Scott Boras has got to be somewhere. Where is he at? He's sitting right behind the plate. And he's sitting there next to his buddy, has a white shirt on. I was like, oh, there he is. And then as soon as the pitch goes, I see him, like, look down and do something in his lap. Watch it again. He does something in his lap. I'm like, Evan, Scott Boras is scoring this game.
That's right.
The super agent.
That's right.
Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Scores game.
Me and Scott.
Like Evan Roberts.
Scott and Evan. Evan Scott and Evan. We're like buddies.
One more note on
I'll
that.
I'll stop picking on you about it now.
Thank you.
One more note on that woman after you left, Tiki.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if Evan heard this because I was really impressed. During an Austin Wells at bat late in the game, big time belch from her. She's drinking a tall boy beer and then went like Barney Simpson. And I went, whoa, how about that?
She was actually giving me crap because when Jeff McNeil made the base running gaffe,
yes,
I lost my mind.
Yes, you did.
I'll be the first to tell you, I started cursing him out.
Right. I think that's when she started looking at you, by the
way. Yeah, that's when I attention was called to me. So I am just destroying Jeff McNeil, as every Met fan is. Every Met fan's annoyed about that base running blunder. After McNeil hits the home run, she couldn't wait to say, do you forgive him now? And I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. All right, let's get to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. We will get to Mendy's decision to face Aaron Judge. We've also got some football to get to, including a potentially major injury at Giant Camp and the NFL maybe getting set for an 18-game schedule. But let's kick it off with Lebo in Queens. Good afternoon, Lebo.
Hey, guys. What's happening? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure, man.
Kiki, first of all, thank you for all your service with the Giants. Loved you. Appreciated you. And you will be in the Hall of Fame.
Hopefully.
Now, getting to the Yankees. I'm a gigantic Yankee fan, like most of us on the phone are. Quick question. Evan, when you saw the lineup yesterday, how did you feel as a huge Met fan? Were you happy or depressed?
I definitely looked at that lineup, as I have for a while, and said there are a lot of holes in it. You can't let Judge and Soto beat you. So I was excited about the opportunity, but still very nervous.
He was more focused on Jose Quintana having a blow-up game.
Yeah, I also expected, and here's where I was also wrong, I expected the Yankee offense to break out. Maybe not necessarily J.D. Davis and Jamai Jones, but I did expect that Quintana was going to struggle. But what did I think when I saw the lineup? I was surprised that J.D. was hitting cleanup. I was surprised.
How happy were you? Because as a Yankee fan and most of my brethren, we were so disgusted and still am. Mm-hmm. The team is horrendous to begin with. I mean, the way they constructed
they're
the team
is horrendous. Different. They're playing bad like right
now.
No,
well,
now.
I should correct it. You're right.
But Lebo, my return fire to you would be this.
Sure.
How could that lineup have been constructed with who's on the roster that would have made you feel good?
Well, truthfully,
yeah.
J.D. Davis, like you said, should be DFA today.
Okay, we
but
get
he
that.
He shouldn't even be on the team to
okay,
begin with.
Fine.
That's how a major you, problem.
But, Lebo, you're not answering my question, mm-hmm. and I agree with you about sure. that. J.D. Davis thinks.
Yeah.
How would you have constructed the lineup that would have made you say, hey, I feel good about tonight's game?
Truthfully, a little different, but the team, like you said, the gentleman we have on the team right now, there's not many people to put in the fourth spot.
Yeah. That's what Evan was saying. And by the way, no matter who haven't done one. Their OPS collectively is 530.
It's the worst in baseball.
Whatever it is, it's bad. I'm not talking like on base. It's talking about like OPS is 530. That's horrendous.
Yeah, I think that there are better ways to construct this lineup. I will totally agree with that. But there's no great way to construct this lineup because no matter how you place it or who you decide to play,
yeah.
the numbers are not on your side. Like, you guys can diminish Ben Rice's struggles all you want or Oswaldo Cabrera's numbers against lefties all you want. And you may be right. Ah, screw it. Just go play him anyway. But you can't then tell me you're going to feel good about it. You're not going to feel good about it. This is not a great lineup right now.
No, it's not. And there's not many answers. That's the problem. With Giancarlo Stanton out. And the Martian, I think he's rehabbing now, right?
Yes, and by the way, as soon as he's ready, get his ass back.
Right, but there's just not any answer, right? Unless you go trade for somebody.
Right, which they're going to do.
Which I think they're going to do, but are they going to just wait? You know what I mean?
No, like they're going to add a bat in the next 6 days. I guarantee it, bro.
But even though there's bats available, hopefully, relatively soon.
Yes, because the bats that are coming, while they will improve the lineup in Dominguez and Stanton, and it could answer your Verdugo problem because Verdugo can become a bench player,
mm-hmm.
they clearly are going to look at the infield with the questions around DJ, with the questions around Glaber, despite the home run yesterday, and say, you know what? We could use a bat who can play third base or second base. And I will make this guarantee, only because Brian Cashman's got a track record. As much as you guys may hate him, he does have a track record. Now, not all these moves work out. Joey Gallo didn't work out. I'll be the first to tell you, he's going to add a bat before July 30th. Who that bat is? That's worthy for discussion.
I think we're pretty good.
And coming up at 4 o'clock, I'll give you my definitive list. I made a top 10 list of potential targets. Let's go to Marty in Hoboken. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys. That lineup last night was a complete joke. It was like a forfeit. You got the freaking leadoff, Ofer, cleanup, Ofer. The rookie catcher, Ofer, like, somebody should be fired for that, actually. Whose idea was that to put that lineup? J.D. Davis. Kevin, you keep on saying, well, J.D. Davis shouldn't have been batting cleanup.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have batting cleanup. He shouldn't be on the freaking team.
I agree with you, but again, you're missing the freaking point. If you don't play all the guys that you just said stink, which, fine, they stink, you're playing other guys who have not played well. You're acting as if they sat Lou Gehrig to play J.D. Davis. They sat a left-handed rookie who's 4 for his last 40. Like, do you guys not see that? That's not defending J.D. Davis. That's stop acting like who they sat was unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just acknowledge that?
Ben Rice gave you at least a competitive flyout, ice cold off the bench. Competitive. You got uncompetitive from J.D. Davis. It doesn't have to be Lou Gehrig to this. The point is, play your best guys, even if the best guys aren't great, Evan, and stop worrying about lefty-righty with the state of this team. The Yankees don't have depth enough to be worrying about the lefty-righty thing right now. They don't.
Let's go to Lenny and Rockaway. What's up, Lenny?
Hey, guys. I'm a gleaming Mets fan today, and you're right. You said earlier that strikeout had to be one of the greatest, you know, strikeouts or sports. I mean, I know it's a regular season. I know it's a regular season game, but anyway, Mendy, post-game, you know, he said, no, he laughed, smiled. Love that guy, man. He's really growing on me. But is there anything to this? I had a thought. Maybe he was trying to, maybe he thought that we were lulling the giant to sleep. I mean, you walk a guy that many times, and then you, his first at bat is in the ninth, in the pressure cooker? I mean, it might be just be some kind of genius. I don't know. What do you think?
He lulled the giant to sleep. And then the giant finally has a chance to lift the bat off his shoulder. And he's so stunned that it's a fastball down right. The middle.
I mean, you're joking, but he probably was. He most likely was.
Well, you know,
and
what?
That was Diekman not even, I guess, I can't say he wasn't thinking about it, but why would he do that?
Well, I think what lulled him to sleep, because I listened to what Aaron said after the game, was that because Diekman had missed so badly with Soto.
Yes.
And you're not pitching necessarily around Soto with Judge on deck, especially after he had a tough day and he's 0-for-4. And I also thought when he struck out in the seventh inning, Sean said this too, he actually said it first, I give him credit, it looked like Juan was hurt.
Yeah.
It looked like he was grabbing his hand on the strikeout. He dropped the bat. Like, it didn't look very, very clean. But Diekman missed on four pitches to Soto, and none of them were close. And Judge's thought was, I have to make him prove he could throw a strike. Meanwhile, my thought would have been, if it's anywhere near the strike zone, if I'm going to be Barry Bonds, I got to go hammer it.
Right.
And put a pin in that Soto thing. It's not for today. That is a major Yankee problem lurking.
The fact he's dealing with the sand issue?
And he is.
And it's been a while.
And
now.
It's been a while, and he's on the record of saying it hurts when he doesn't make contact. How many days in a row do you need to see him grimace? Is he making it from July 24th to whenever in October right now with his hand?
The only reason I would say I would be confident that he would is his track record. Juan Soto plays.
I understand that.
But has he ever played with a lingering injury that might get worse? Because it's not getting better.
Yeah, just monitor that. That is a big thing nobody wants to talk about, nor should we, but it's there.
I tell you, there's a lot of work on that thing for every game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Well, he showed that bandage during one of the nationally televised games recently, and it was like, whoa.
Right.
Look at that.
I thought it was just kind of, just going to wrap your thumb a little bit and give some support. That thing is extensive.
Yeah.
And so it tells you that there's something seriously wrong with it that may require some other procedure other than just, I can play through it and it'll get better.
Dan is in Brooklyn, New York. What's up, Dan? Hello, Dan.
Hello? Dan, what's up,
Hello?
Dude? All's good, man.
What's up?
Yeah, hi, how are you? Yeah, I have two Mets points to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, first of all, I have a little conspiracy theory that Jake Diekman is really trying to walk Judge and, you know, he just by mistake threw it over the middle.
Jake Diekman is so bad. His inability to pitch around Aaron Judge actually worked out. That wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, you know, that first pick was right over the middle of the plate. You tell me that was on purpose?
Yeah, I mean, it probably shouldn't have been, but it worked.
I don't know with him. His command has been so bad this season that you actually never know. That whole sequence in the ninth inning, though, was such a... It was such a tough, tricky baseball spot because there's a part of me that says, how could you walk a guy and put two on and one out with a one-run lead?
You can't.
You can't do it. But then the other part of me says, I can't live with myself if Aaron Judge is a two-run home run off Jake Diekman. Like, how the hell could you live with yourself? And that's the funny thing about it. We have talked a lot about Boone. Most people want to bring up the lineup. I brought up the decision to not walk Jeff McNeil. Aaron Boone is under a microscope right now. If Aaron Judge hits a two-run home run off of Jake Diekman in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
The love affair with Mendy. I mean, between not using Diaz, when many Met fans would say, screw it, it's a big game, use him, and then having Diekman face Judge, oh my God, you talk about being under the microscope
right
today.
I mean, he was all on the four-seamer, too. He threw it three times in a five-pitch at bat. And the first one was right down the middle, and the one that he got called strike, it was just inside, but it was also hittable.
And look, a caller said something earlier, quoting me, and I want this to be accurate. I am not suggesting that last night's win, as pleasant as it was, like, I ain't going to lie. Did I high-five a bunch of randoms leaving Yankee Stadium last night? Absolutely. Did I sing Frank Sinatra leaving Yankee Stadium last night? Absolutely. Was I a little overly giddy while recording the Rico Bronya last night? Of course. I'm a human. I'm a fan. I'm a genuine fan. I'm not saying that last night's win is a top five moment as a fan. That's ridiculous. What I said was, and this I think could stand the test of time, I don't think I've been as stunned watching a sporting event as I was watching Jake Diekman strike out Aaron Judge. That's what I mean. Just that singular moment of Aaron Judge, who's been given the Barry Bonds treatment, who is so locked in, Jake Diekman, and I say this as classily as I can, Jake Diekman sucks, okay? We all kind of know that. Having him strike out Aaron Judge looking was just one of the most, are you freaking kidding me, moments that you'll ever see. It's almost like Luis Castillo dropping the pop-up
now
reverse.
Now you're just rubbing it in.
How am I rubbing it in?
Yeah, because you just keep talking about it.
That is the reverse of Luis Castillo dropping
stunning.
The pop-up?
Stunning, because when Castillo's under a pop-up, your expectation is he's going to catch it.
A year from now, you're never going to remember that happened.
You don't think so?
No. You might, because you're a nerd that writes everything down. Not a Yankee or Met fan will remember that Diekman struck out Judge. And
you agree with that, Luke?
I do, because I sat basically next to you, and after the Mets won the game, he goes, "Positive Tommy, come here!" And I've known Evan for 15 years. We never even shook hands. He gave me the biggest bro hug. My back is still sore. He banged on my back like 6 times.
I was pumped.
I've never seen Evan that giddy. Normally, he just takes his little scorebook and walks home. Not last night. Evan was like a top blew off.
Now,
after
do you, as Positive Tommy, approve of that? Or are you, like, looking down on me for being that excited?
No, I thought it was amazing.
Oh, okay.
I said it last night. I thought game six for me walking out in Philadelphia, and then last night, two amazing moments in 1 year. You can't take it away from me. If I could bottle that up, I'd be a millionaire. You'd never hear Lou Gehee on this air ever again.
Do you guys hear yourselves?
What?
The Yankees had Jamai Jones lead off, and J.D. Davis hit cleanup. And you're comparing that to walking out of a playoff game in which the Knicks eliminated the Philadelphia?
No, what I'm comparing it to is the fact that, much like Philly, I get to see all your tears, I get to see your sad faces, and that feeling as a Met fan, and we haven't had it often, of walking out of Yankee Stadium dub. It so, means a lot.
So tell
me, no problem asking for a ride home, though.
Tell me if this makes any sense to you. The Mets are going to play the Braves tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play a 4-game series against Atlanta. And I will tell you with a straight face, that series is bigger than this series against the Yankees.
Yes. Even though the Braves are scuffling right
now.
Yeah,
and the Mets have a chance to catch them, which is a big part of it.
9-4 Reds in the middle of the eighth inning.
And they're playing a doubleheader today. If the Braves lose that first game, the Mets will pull within 3 games of Atlanta for that first wild card spot. So we all know those games are more important. I'm going to go to Friday's game. I'm going to go to Saturday's games. That's kind of my pace right now. I try to go to half of them. I will not have that kind of feeling walking out of Citi Field after a great win that would match the feeling we had last night. Even if the win against the Braves matters more. Yes, and I'll tell you why. And Lugie and I, this is one of those rare spots, we're on the same page. There is something so special and unique about walking out of someone else's building with a bunch of people around you who agree.
Yeah.
Watching your enemy upset. And walking out of their building singing their song.
So after the win, Sean and I, together, but not at the same time, we went in the bathroom and some chooch was sitting there going, "Hey, this is your World Series." Keep hanging on to that one. The 90s are a long time ago. We were in the World Series more recently than you were.
I mean,
so
the reality is your first game, so the Braves are going to lose today, this first game.
Yeah.
They could lose the second one. And then they're going to be a game ahead of you in the loss column.
It's that close?
It's that close. They have 45 losses. The Mets have 48.
Yeah, but the Mets are going to lose tonight. I think we all know that.
Whatever. I'm just saying, in general. So this series against the Braves.
It's huge.
It's huge because you could catch them.
Absolutely.
In the loss column.
No, the Met-Braves series on a lot of levels is significant.
Yes.
And much bigger than the Yankees series.
This one just feels better.
There's no doubt. I've always said this about the Subway series. I've been very consistent about it, even if it's confusing. I downplay the games because at the end of the day, it's a regular season game against the team not in your league.
And they don't mean
that to when you're in the building, the way we were last night, there's emotion that matches the postseason. I'm walking out of Yankee Stadium. I not only hugged Lugie, I hugged randoms. We were just randomly hugging each other, high-fiving each other, singing Frank at the top of our lungs. Play Frank! Oh, they played Frank!
Stop with the play Frank.
What?
Have some respect for it. It's Frank Sinatra. Don't ever say play Frank.
Why?
It's almost rude to how great Frank Sinatra is. It's Frank Sinatra. Play Sinatra, maybe.
No, Frank is like, you could just say Frank.
No.
There are certain people like Tiki. You don't have to say Tiki Barber. You just say Tiki.
No, but
how many other Tikis do you have?
Right. Play Frank is an amateur hour long.
Oh, you're full of crap.
It is.
Shut your mouth.
You know what? How about this one?
No adult says play Frank.
I do. Keith does. And you know what? Even if we differ on teams, we can agree on that. What?
How about this one? Play Frank for the Mets. It's absolutely embarrassing that the Yankees played that after that thing last night.
Well, there's a complicated legacy to that that we will get to a little bit later on, I promise you, because the whole Sinatra New York thing is a fascinating kind of battle that's actually been going on for a while. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019. And a lot has been made of what Carlos Mendoza said last night after the game.